Our recording cut out towards the end, so you will hear the audio switch to Zoom. This is just a heads up. You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties. But now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFV. Welcome back for another great episode. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for Visiting. We're going to kick off this episode like we do every week, and that's sharing one of you who's using our hashtag on Instagram, hashtag #STRShareSunday. We will share you here on the pod, on YouTube, into our email list. We're going to give you some free marketing. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
Today, we are sharing at High Low Stays, just like it sounds, High Low Stays, and it is a dome in Brazil. And it is in the middle of the wilderness. It is a teeny tiny dome, but you have got to check them out. They are making it happen. One of the most notable things I want you to check out is A, how they've utilized the space in this dome and how they've kind of broken it up and have like their sitting area and their bedroom and their kitchen area. But the highlight, please go to their link in their bio and go to their actual Airbnb listing. The shots that they have, every single photo in their listing is so intentional and so well done. I think we could all learn multiple lessons from the way they are showing exactly where the dome is. They have some aerial photos of it. They have lots of photos of people utilizing the space. So really giving your imagination, you know, letting you really feel what it would be like to experience the place. But I think they have done a phenomenal job with every single one of their photos. And we've been getting a lot of emails lately about people. They don't feel like they're getting booked as often as they were. You've got to be competitive. The number one thing you are selling with your photos, everyone. So I encourage everyone, take a look at their listing photos. Take a look at your listing photos and see how you could up-level your listing.
I think they have an Oculus that their guests can use.
Yes. Oh, if you take a look at the amenities that they have and the way they have them displayed, yeah, they definitely have the Oculus.
That is amazing. Yes. And that actually parlays really well into today's episode because today we're going to talk about design, my friends, but not just any kind of design, not just like a pretty picture of like a West Elm vignette. But truly eye-popping, scroll-stopping, creative designs We have Bridget here. She's a 24-year-old Airbnb host, Airbnb interior designer, stylist, and content creator. She runs her businesses with her boyfriend, and we are so excited to have her on the show today and to dig into how she got started and what it's like having these eye-popping designs on Airbnb, especially right now when times are so competitive. Bridget, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys so much. I'm so excited to be chatting with you.
So, Bridget, I do want to let you know, we are a niche podcast. We talk about short-term rentals, but the one topic that comes up a lot from people who want to share their story on our show is design. And, you know, we're not just a design podcast. So to get designers on our show to have a chat about design content, we're super, super selective. And when we saw your Instagram page, I was like, we have got to get her on this show because you think out of the box, but then you somehow figure out how to bring it all together. Where like, I want to stay in your space because I'm going to be inspired to not only just have a great time, but even just for my own rentals. So tell us how you got started. Where did this all come from?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you so much. That's really nice of you. We definitely strive to have weird ass listings. So hopefully I can cuss on here.
Yes.
So our story is really interesting. I say our, it's my boyfriend Blue and I, and his name is perfect Blue for what we do. Basically in 2020, we both graduated from San Diego State and that was peak COVID time. We're like, what on earth do we do? Like, what is life? We're just watching Ozark and drinking White Claws with our roommates. Like things were really strange. We didn't get to graduate. Like we were in kind of like a dark place where we're like, okay, we can't work. I taught at Core Power Yoga. He taught at Orange Theory. That's how we met. And we're like, we can't do that. We can't really, you know, do anything. So what can we do? And we had a friend that did Airbnb arbitrage in San Diego. And so we kind of got into Airbnb arbitrage that way through a friend that had given us kind of advice on how to do it. And then from there, we realized, you know, we can do this decorating thing a lot cheaper and a lot cooler by finding thrifted items. So we started going to Goodwill because we could do that during lockdown. We were allowed to go to Goodwill with our mask on and stuff. That was like our high of the week. We're like, let's go to Goodwill. So we would go to Goodwill and we'd find like little furniture pieces or like unique pieces that we could just update with paint or spray paint or I don't know, even just things that were already updated, but people just got rid of. And we started furnishing our Airbnbs. We had two with that furniture. And we're like, okay, this is weird because people are buying a lot of brand new stuff. And ours not only is cheaper, but it looks way cooler. And I'm like, you know what? I should try to do a mural on the wall. I'd never done a mural. I did my first mural and I was thinking, okay, you know, either this is really easy or I might be slightly good at this. So we had our Airbnbs running and then Blue and I decided that we wanted to kind of stop having those Airbnbs be functioning. Like it was just taking up a lot of mental space and we wanted to focus on other places. So we decided to purchase a Sprinter van and we converted our van to like travel across the country. So we made our van obviously cute with fun tile and we went off and just, we're going to go figure out what the heck to do. I was 22. He was 23 or 24. And we're like, let's just go and maybe figure out a new place to live. And at that point, we were in San Diego and we traveled to probably, I think it was 28 or 30 states for 4 months. It was not good. I'll tell you that. It was a cool experience, but like van life is very glamorized where I was like, this is going to be gorgeous. Like we're going to be living the time of our life. In reality, I've never been uglier. I've never been dirtier. I smelled so bad. I was going to the bathroom in the most random spots possible. And what an experience that was. But I will say, definitely rent a van before you buy and commit. That's my one hack right here. But we found this building in Nashville that allowed Airbnb arbitrage again. At the point, we didn't have money to buy a house. We couldn't qualify. Like we were just young and figuring out life. So we headed to Nashville and we signed a lease for a unit there that's in the heart of like right on, like basically a block away from Broadway. And we realized, okay, there's several hundred units in this building, or I want to say there's 180 plus units in there. I can't remember the exact number, but we're like, how can we stand out beyond everyone else? Considering the rent is so expensive, we have to pay 25% a month to Airbnb. How can we make this really badass? And so we're like, let's just go wild. Let's do the craziest murals. Let's do wild wallpaper. Let's find weird pieces and just make it super bachelorette. Cause we knew that Nashville was very bachelorette vibe. Like that is just the heart of bachelorette. So we got cow print wallpaper. We did pink squiggles and yellow bathrooms and like crazy peel and stick wallpaper that was rental friendly. I thrifted a bunch of like weird hand chairs, which kind of started my hand chair love. And from there, I started posting on TikTok, which I didn't think anything of. And I was just sharing kind of the journey of what we were doing. And I got quite a few followers on TikTok. I now have about, I think, 415,000 on TikTok from starting from that Nashville Airbnb. And from there, we had people that were like, oh my gosh, can you do mine? And my imposter syndrome was like, no, what is that? Why would you ask me that? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I just did this and I don't know. Turns out I actually am a little bit good at it. And we started doing jobs and we started kind of going on a completely different route of our life. And now we just started this interior design / decorating Airbnb staging company. But now that's basically our full-time job. So we do a bunch of Airbnbs a year. We did 2 commercial spaces last year on top of it. And then now I do content creation with that as well. And I work with really cool brands and I actually work with Airbnb too, like on their content creation side. So yeah, that's kind of how our wild journey began.
I have so many things to unpack out of your intro there, but the number one thing I want to unpack, because this is just a net in my vibe, is like the whole imposter syndrome and you just gave something a try and you trusted yourself to lean into something. I just think that's really admirable because it can be scary, especially when you decided to share it for the world to see too, not only just on TikTok and Instagram, but in your guests too. Like, you know what I mean? Like you trusted yourself and I think that's super cool.
Thank you.
Where do you think your ability to, because here's the thing, you know, I went to interior design school and it's hard to do what you do, to mix patterns and colors while it still is not driving you nuts and give you a headache. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's a difference between being inspirational and just too much. You know what I mean? So what do you think about your upbringing or your past? Or like, is there anything that you did where like this maybe, or is it just innate talent of yours?
So it's so interesting. I did not go to interior design school, which is why I kind of feel like
no,
can't call
don't go
myself.
Because they're just going to ruin you. Don't do it.
That's what I think. I'm like, I don't want them to crush my creativity. So my mom and my sister are pretty creative. My mom actually used to do murals back in the day. And I grew up going, like, instead of getting a babysitter, I would just sit on the stairs while she did murals. But her murals and my sister's art was very realistic. Like they could just draw me and it would look exactly like me. And so when I would just draw my little hearts, I was like, okay, these are so, like, this is not art. I didn't think that it was real when I compared myself to what they could actually do that was just insane art. So I never channeled that because I was like, I just don't have what it takes. I would always draw like squiggles and like random shapes that connected with each other. And it was just, it wasn't the same in what I thought art was. And I think maybe even back in that time, like in early 2000s, like it wasn't as popular to have like that style. So I just didn't do anything with it. So I think it stems from having those creative juices a little bit there. And I also kind of have a personality of, I don't give a F what anybody thinks of me and just like live this wild, bold, like probably inappropriate life where I just say what's on my mind. And, you know, I told you I pooped on the side of the road. So like, I just kind of like have that personality where I'm like, just do it. Like, who cares what other people think? Try and mix colors and patterns. And so I think both of those factors played a part into what got me started where I am today. But I do agree, it is really hard to mix those colors and patterns. And I have seen people do it where it looks unique. And I'm sure there's a niche for that, you know, but it is something that for some reason, I don't know how I know that, but it's just inside me. Like, I don't even know how to explain how I know what I'm doing. I just do it. Nike.
Just do it. Nike. Yes.
Well, how do your clients though? You're obviously helping clients now. Do they give you full, like, can you be the creative director? Or I know when you start to do client work, it's glamorized a lot, you know, to get clients, but they always, you know, they can say, hey, you have full creative direction. How have you found that now that you're starting to work with others?
Yeah, that's a great question. That was one of my fears because I was nervous that someone was going to, you know, tone down our style or kind of burst my bubble a little bit with being like, that's just too wild. So I was really worried about that. But actually, every single client that we've ever had says, I know nothing, please go and just make it cool. And that has been everything for us. I really think that if we hadn't had that from the start, I probably wouldn't be where I am. Like having those clients that support you and like you for who you are and your style. Now I feel like I would not work for somebody that didn't say, Bridget, we believe you, full creative freedom, girlfriend, just go. I also feel like I couldn't probably do a normal person's, like a person's residential home, because, you know, not a lot of people want to have a McDonald's sign in their home. So I think it's really cool to have the vacation rental niche doing that, because people are like, I recognize that I don't want to live here, but I know how important it is to have people want to stay at my space. So go for it, girl.
Love that.
What components of being a host previously do you bring to your designs?
Yeah, that's super helpful. It's super helpful doing it, and it's super helpful pitching, because I think number one, people are like, okay, this girl's not just, you know, doesn't have just a pretty style, but she can actually make it so she understands the data. My boyfriend, I'm not going to say she understands the data. Blue, my boyfriend, is just this total numbers guy. He handles all of the Airbnb data and stuff like that. But he fully understands, you know, we have clients sometimes that will reach out to us and they live in like Kentucky or somewhere random. And they're like, we really want to pay you to do our arbitrage unit. And Blue is like, you know what, man, from an Airbnb host standpoint, from these numbers, like he'll run the numbers, run the AirDNA. He can tell you, I truly don't think it's worth it for your return. So we really are good with, is it worth it for your location to hire us? If not, maybe virtual is a great aspect that we can do. That's cheaper, obviously. But I also think we have something special, which I actually don't know if other decorators or designers do this, where when we go into our client's space, it's an empty box most of the time, and we make it full Airbnb ready. So we live in the space for the week while we're doing it. So we test out the beds, we test out the pillows, we know it's comfortable. We use the showers and the water. We sleep in every bedroom. We install the Ring cameras. We understand the August lock or whatever lock you use. We know that you need every little detail because we're living in it, and we're also hosts, and we're also picky. Like, I know what I like at Airbnb, and when someone doesn't have it, I'm like, ew, what's wrong with you? So like, I think that is really helpful because it just lets the client know that we're on the same page and we fully know your expectations and we can make that happen for you.
Well, and you're experiencing it from the guest perspective too, which I think Annette and I champion this a lot too. We call it your truth-telling friend, like how a friend comes stay in your space who's actually going to tell you what your bed actually feels like and what the water pressure actually feels like. Because if you don't face the music now, your guests are going to tell you, you know, whether it's in a review or if it's actual feedback, they're going to tell you. So the fact that you provide that for your clients, I'm sure you know this, but that's a huge plus to be able to just tweak things too before they get to that paying guest component.
Absolutely.
I want to know if you can share, where has a design gone wrong? Or, you know, you installed something either in your personal, one of your personal spaces or for a client, and like you thought it was going to be a hit and it ended up not working out, just to kind of help our listeners when they're trying to be creative with things. Is there something that's a hard no now that you've tried before?
That's a great question. Luckily, most things have worked out really well, but I think sometimes, maybe this isn't the correct answer, but for some people doing it themselves, I think sometimes if you don't have the background or experience and you want to, let's say, copy my style, like we talked about earlier, unfortunately, you have to have that eye a little bit or the knowledge to create something unique. So I think sometimes people can see something that they like and try to make it their own. And unfortunately, the colors, like I've actually, this is a good example. I've experienced this before where before I got good at like color theory or understanding the colors and how, you know, which ones to choose at my bare book, you're choosing colors that are too neon or, and like you're trying to achieve like a pink look, but then it looks like strange bubblegum hot pink. So I think that is, I guess that leads me to why it's important to hire someone that knows what they're doing, because little things like that can make a mistake for you. Just trying to copy someone that has a great style and not being able to implement it sometimes doesn't work out.
I think that's great advice, because you can see something, and if you don't know, especially even if it's a color that's worked in one space, but then you have completely different lighting in another space, it's going to change the tones and like how that, especially with your designs that are, I mean, you have to be tight with those decisions, because then it can just, one little wrong moving and it could be off and be not pleasant versus, like I said, like crazy inspirational being, you know, looking at your photos.
Our videographer, just, we were talking about it earlier today. Like there's some spaces they're just trying too hard. And then it ends up looking like
they're trying too hard
to be like this themed Airbnb. And there's like this fine line between design and themed out to try to get the bookings. And it just ends up missing the mark or being cheesy instead of, being well designed.
Yes, I totally agree. That's actually a great point, because I think sometimes if you looked at my page and you took from me that oh my gosh, I need neon signs and I need, you know, cute wall art. But you go on Amazon and type neon sign and you take the first one that you see that says like, I hope that you guys don't have this neon sign.
No, I'm looking at your designs right now.
We don't have any neon signs. So you're
like,
good.
If you get a neon sign and it's one from Amazon and it says like, till death do us party or something, which is cute, but it's like, that is like the first neon sign that comes off on Amazon. And if you go, if you want cool wall art, but you just go to Home Goods and you don't achieve like that, you're trying to copy something, but unfortunately it looks kind of like corporate. Like it doesn't look the way you're trying to make it. So like for us, we always try to source like unique art from Etsy or even from thrift stores or like neon signs that are custom made. Mm-hmm. So I think it's easy to see something, but trying to make that happen, yeah, unfortunately it doesn't always work out in their favor. Mm-hmm.
Which sure. I think is great for designers like yourself because, and I'll say this, listen, if you want to do the short-term rental thing, especially now, you want to stand out, you have a great market, but there's a lot of competition. It's just like any brick and mortar store you see. If you just throw up white blank walls and like really terrible overhead lighting, I mean, it's not going to be a good experience to come in there. So having a professional who does this, who has the eye, who understands not only from the investor's perspective or the owner's perspective and the guest perspective, I mean, that's just a recipe for a long-term business and for you to exist for a long time. My question for you is, you get these blank slates. How do you get inspiration for each of your designs? What starts it for you?
So my style is very pink, orange, girly. Like I have kind of a style that I will always have my go-to colors be. Like I kind of have a color scheme for most projects. I will incorporate the same five colors in all of it. But, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners do Pinterest. Pinterest is fire. That is like the key to setting up a theme and to getting a mood board and to understanding your concept. So for each job that we do, I have like just an ongoing Pinterest board of like my style, and I'll just dig into those, my pins, and then I'll like put it into like, okay, this one's going to be the Scottsdale bachelorette house. So I'll pull from there and I'll be like, oh, I like this saying for a neon sign, or I like this wallpaper, this bed frame. And I'll kind of just like pull those things from there. So that's where it stems from. I feel like that's where it begins.
I love that. What's your favorite one so far?
She doesn't have a
great question.
They're all her favorite. She can't pick her favorite child.
They are. I love them all, but I really like, we just did one in Joshua Tree. I don't know if you know Josh and Patrick. I don't know. Probably not. So we did these two really cool guys there. We did their Airbnb. They had an Airbnb already and it was super just like live, laugh, love vibes. And we came in there, they're like, we need you to help us. Like, can you just make it cute? Can you just fully redo it in your style? What, how much money would it take to make this space badass? And we fully went in there. We straight up painted the house pink. Like the outside of the house was brown and now it's pink. So like we bought $1,200 worth of disco balls. The outside's pink. Every room is filled with funky murals and wallpaper. We got an alien that really strange alien that's just sitting on a bench with a neon sign above it that says nothing to see here. And it's just like, obviously ironic. We got like on Facebook, a old Volkswagen bug shell. I saw that and I was interested. I was like, what can we do with this weird shell? In Joshua Tree, there's huge desert. So the backyards are always so big and you don't have anything to do put there. So we put this random bug shell and we painted it this like teal blue color. So it's kind of sitting there with cactuses on the inside, just like photo opportunities.
Yeah.
And then we got a mannequin on Facebook Marketplace and we ripped the head off and put a disco ball as the head. And now it's this disco mannequin and like the whole vibe is pink disco bachelorette vibes. And it's just really, really cool because they were like, they gave us full creative freedom, but they also wanted it to be like girls, which sometimes clients will be full creative freedom, but make it a little bit more family oriented. So you're not using hot pinks and stuff, but still do what you do, girl. But, you know, family vibes, not like bachelorette. So they were like, just go for it. So that was really, really fun to do.
Hey there, fellow hosts. Want to make your short-term rental feel like $1 million with out breaking the bank?
You bet. That's where Manoan comes in. They've got deep discounts on over 100 amazing brands. Brands like Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Wayfair, Parachute, and Fellow. Your guests will be swooning over the stylish furnishings and you'll be grinning at the money you saved.
And here's the exciting news. Manoan just leveled up their platform. Now you can easily sort through their brands with improved browsing and filtering capabilities, including host favorites and unique finds. No more endlessly scrolling.
Plus, if you're a design-savvy host juggling multiple properties, Manoan has your back. You can tag quotes and orders by property so you can keep things organized like a pro.
And let's not forget, you can set up multiple properties under your one account. It's a breeze to manage them all in one place. Talk about convenience.
Oh, and customization is key. With Manoan, you can decide who gets email notifications for all of your quotes and order updates. No more inbox overload.
And also, of course, we cannot forget the most exciting thing about all of this. Manoan is 100% free for hosts. Yes, you've heard that right. There are no membership fees, no sneaky costs, just fabulous discounts and a stress-free experience.
So what are you waiting for? Don't waste another second. Go to ManoanExperience.com and sign up today. Your guests will thank you, your wallet will thank you, and we'll thank you for spreading the word.
Thanks for visiting the new Manoan.
Since you're sourcing, you know, not the usual furnishings, can you give us some insight on how much you charge for this? Yeah. You know, how do you plan out budgets when things are thrifted? Because just, we know you're spending a lot of time on it. So it's like, how are you creating, you know, these bids for these projects? Are they 10,000? Are they 20,000? Are they 30,000? Does it depend on room? How are you creating your pricing strategy, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah. For how much I charge or the material or both?
Both. Whatever you feel comfortable sharing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm totally fine sharing. So how we work with our clients and when they're like, well, how much is it going to cost for the material? Because that's obviously a huge, important question. We tell them for the material only, not our services, it's going to be $2,500 to $3,500 per space. So we average it out. So if it's a 4-bedroom and then there's 2 baths, that's 6. A living room, that's 7. The kitchen, that's 8. The dining room, that's 9. The backyard, that's 10. So $2,500 to $3,500. We can do 25. We prefer when clients can be a little bit more in the 3,000 range, just because you know how expensive extra linens are, bedding, all that stuff, like can openers. You know what I mean? Like those little things that you wouldn't think about are. But that's how we price for that. So we try to stick with that for the budget. And then when we get there, we try to leave like $500-ish for the Facebook marketplace finds, like the gumball machines or like the weird random things that you would never expect to see. You don't even know what's going to happen, but we always try to leave a little bit of extra for that when we're there, but that would be the price. So we actually did a client space a few months ago in Phoenix. And this was actually a bigger property than we thought it was. There was an extra bedroom that it was 1 bedroom, but it was like split. So it was basically two different bedrooms. And we were really confused on how we didn't quote for that. So we're like, oh my God, like we need to like make it work with this lower budget. And they wanted to keep it really simple. They already paying us was obviously an investment, but their budget was $21,000 for 5 bedrooms, a huge game room, a backyard with a pool, plus all the extra linens, all the extra stuff. It was really difficult to do, but we did achieve it. And it still is really badass. And that property, actually, I can go into this later, but they revamped the property from an already functioning Airbnb. And they're making 44% projected revenue more than what it was before. Just investing $20,000, which, yeah, I guess that sounds like a lot. I mean, that's a lot of money. But in the grand scheme of things, how much did you buy the house for? So,
Did they tell you that example? Do you know, since we're talking about their data, did they tell you how long it would take them to make that return back? Like if it's 44% more, but how long until they like, because if it's a couple years and you're going to be in this game for, you know, 5 or 10, like that to me is a good investment, but.
The first year. So they would make it all back in the first year. I'll go into that, but how much we charge. So yeah, there's a quote for how much it would be for the material. And then we charge for in-person starting at $19,000 for labor. But to note, we are paying for the trash dump. We are paying for the furniture builders. We're paying for the painters that paint the solid colored walls. This is including our flights, our food, all those accommodations. That's what it starts at. We have a 10% material markup, 15% depending on how far you are for that as well. But they ended up paying, I think, $23,000 in total for us. They paid $21,000 for it. So that's what, $43,000 or $44,000. And if on average, the person before them was making $100,000 a year. If they're making $44,000 more, in 1 year, you're making that back. So I fully understand when we pitch ourselves to clients, sometimes like, oh, no, I'm not paying. Like, I'll do it myself. You know, it's fine. But in reality, the most important part is the way that the aesthetic looks. When you're scrolling, like you said earlier, you need to have a scroll stopping listing. That is the most important part. You honestly could probably have outdated light fixtures and outdated flooring and a bathroom that's like not the cutest. If it's decorated cute, nobody cares about that. Like, I mean, there are some people out there that I'm sure will be Karens, but in the grand scheme of things, the design and decorating is the most important part and the cherry on top. So investing that to know that you're going to make your money back in 1 year and you're going to be making significantly more than your next door neighbor is worth that investment. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, 1000%. Everyone's going to wonder this too. Do you do e-design? Will you do something that they can then implement?
Yes. So this is new. We actually didn't do this before because once again, imposter syndrome. We were like, we're in person, you know, we can do those murals, obviously implement it. In person was just, you know, learning how to do all of it fully. Now that we have been doing it for so long, we feel really comfortable to just start doing virtual design. So actually, yes, I was going to announce it to my Instagram this week. Actually, we're doing virtual design. For a full home, it would start at $5,000 and go up a little bit. You know, if it's a mansion, it's obviously going to be more than that. But starting at $5,000, make it attainable for other people. We would basically have mock-ups of every single space, an Excel sheet with all the furniture to the T, the pricing, the link for everything. They would order it themselves, but they would also get allocated time for a FaceTime call if they were installing or had any questions. The one thing about virtual is you wouldn't have us do the custom murals, which is part of the reason why our pricing is so expensive. If you've ever worked with a muralist, you know they charge from $20 to $50 a square foot at least. So that's $2,000 to $5,000 for a 10 by 10 wall. So that's why when we go there, we do like four or five custom murals for our clients. So the space is super unique. So you wouldn't get that. However, I have a lot of connections to muralists in different locations that I could always design a mural for them and then send them the mock-up, have someone else come in and implement that as well. But yeah, starting at $5,000, you'd get everything you'd need. You get allocated FaceTime call and then a line sheet of all of the information.
Cool. I am dying to ask. Let's dig into a little bit of your growth on TikTok, on Instagram, and how that's fed into your client base now. Because I know we have a lot of listeners that they want to get into short-term rental design, or they want to get into co-hosting. And if you could share with us how you started sharing, how it grew, and how it's changed the game for you, we would love to learn some of that from you.
Yeah. Social media has changed the game and changed my life. It's everything. And I think if you can post on social media, do it. So like I said, we started in Nashville. I started posting it. I was, you know, made my name, It's Bridget Bitch, because I didn't even think anybody would care. I was like, whatever, let me just throw this out there. And it really aligned with our work, it turned out. So I started posting on TikTok because I didn't know anybody on there. I was like, my friend's boyfriends aren't going to see this. You know, no one knows who I am on here. It's a fresh slate. I was not ready for the Instagram world yet, incorporating my real Instagram to what we were doing, because number one, the theme of this is imposter syndrome. So I was like, I'm not going to, like, you know, change my whole life around for this job. I don't know if it's going to be legit. I don't even know if it's good. There was always hate on social media. So started there. And that was really great because TikTok can grow fast because the algorithm really will launch you farther than Instagram. I think it's actually harder to build on Instagram because TikTok, for example, brands want to work with you on TikTok more than they do on Instagram because your videos on TikTok can randomly get like 60 million views. Like Instagram, that doesn't happen.
Right.
TikTok, your work can be launched far. You have to, you know, have some skill in the editing and like making your stuff, you know, perform, look good. But it's really cool because you can be exposed to so many people on TikTok, which then translated to my Instagram. I was ready to take that leap to where I started making my personal Instagram aligned with my full Instagram. So now I only have one Instagram where I post on there. And basically I make one video. I try to post like four times a week if I can. And I just post the same thing on my TikTok and on my Instagram. And it has been amazing. Like there are people emailing us all the time asking for work. You know, a lot of those don't turn out like always. You know, people are blown away by the price, or they just were curious about your pricing or whatnot. But it is so good for connections. Like we've connected with so many investors and amazing podcasters like you guys, where I would never have if I didn't have my social media following. I also think that it's really cool because it gives me some type of credibility where I it makes me seem more legit than maybe I even am. You know, I have this following. Some people are like, wow, like she must, you know, obviously I think we're doing well and we're good at what we do, but it gives you a lot more credibility. It's really cool because you can start working with brands on social media. Like I said, I work with Airbnb, Target, Amazon, eBay, Bear Paint. I do like all these collaborations and make money off of that and free product and more credibility. But long story short, post on Instagram, post on TikTok. And one thing I will say is that I think a lot of people are afraid of what other people think of them. And they're afraid to start being vulnerable with who they are, like, you know, showing a different side of them to the world and afraid of that hate or whatever. People are going to hate you no matter what you do. And people are going to love you no matter what you do. And you have to not give a F. Like, people are going to be horrible. People are going to be wonderful. And that's just what happens when you're posting yourself publicly. Like, I get crazy comments. Someone, I posted a video about me disco tallying my boyfriend's lawnmower. And they were like, oh, I hope your face is covered with bruises. And it's honestly fun. Like, you have to laugh. Like, that's horrible, obviously. Like, that's really effed up. But you have to have the lighthearted view of, I don't really care that you must be very sad. So that's actually crazy when I say it out loud. But I think posting consistently, sharing and not caring, reels do really well. I'm sure you guys know all about this.
Oh, I love sharing and not caring. That's a good little quip there.
That could be a shirt. Sharing Just posting and using trending audios and posting reels and sharing your voice and starting somewhere is really beneficial. And it's also important for when you have your Airbnb or short-term rental to have an Instagram for your short-term rental as well. You need a landing page for them. Like, you need somewhere that people can scan a QR code and bring you there. That's what we always try to implement in our listings, somewhere they can come and find you. Or I do a lot of marketing on my social media of the Airbnbs that we do. I tag them and they get like 2,000 followers from me tagging them and gives them marketing and gets them clicks and saves. So long story short is post the post and make the Instagram for your Airbnb.
Yes.
No, that's great.
And I will just say it is that recipe of both things. It's posting and being consistent, but also being who you are, because it's who you are, Bridget, that, and like letting your freak flag fly and not caring is what makes you special and different and unique. And we're drawn to that. Whether we want to hate on you for it or love on you for it, either way, your audience grows, more people see you. And it's just, the proof is in the pudding, that just being who you are and putting yourself into your brand, whether that's your designs or your ideas of where you want to invest, how you want to invest. I mean, all the things, just be who you are and embrace that. And the good things will come. I mean, challenges will come too. And you just have to know, you have to be really confident in yourself.
Yes. That's a huge thing. Just knowing who you are and owning it and blocking out the nastiness of the world.
Blocked. Be blocked and blessed. I also know our listeners are, that they're sitting there behind their phones. They want these brand deals. They want to be connected with Target. They want to be connected with Airbnb. Did all of these brands reach out to you, Bridget? Are you reaching out to some of these brands? Can you talk us through how those collaborations have taken place?
Yes. So I was on the phone with another designer the other day and she was saying, oh, I only have like 2,000 followers. I want to work with brands really bad, or how do I connect with them? Whatever. And she's like, I don't think I can. Her imposter syndrome. Oh my gosh. And so I was like, girl, there is a niche for anyone. Brands want to work with micro influencers. Brands want to work with designers. Brands want to work with you two who are posting and sharing all this information. They want to send you guys mattresses. Like, anyone out there that is showing their voice, even if they don't have a ton of followings, can get brand deals. So for me, how it worked was, I actually, about maybe 6 months ago, I had a management company reach out to me. My manager, named Rachel, she manages all of my brand deals and coordinates them and negotiates my price and all that stuff and helps me figure out, you know, what I need to do and what I need to submit. However, before that, I was doing it all on my own. So you need to have your email in your bio, number one, or like that little email icon, so brands can reach out to you, because a lot of them do, a lot of the professional ones will do it via email. The scammy Amazon ones will do it via DM. So get your email in your bio. But I actually reached out to a couple brands in the beginning, like some smaller companies or some like little wallpaper things. And I started by doing really cheap paid collaborations or free gifting in exchange for a video. That is somewhere that anyone can start. I was telling my friend, you could reach out to Ruggable and say, I'm a short-term rental host. I post sorry, my boyfriend, he knew to be quiet. He's talking out there. I was saying, if you're a short-term rental host and you have a ton of listings or you're constantly setting up your listings, you can reach out to Ruggable and say, hey, I absolutely love your rugs. They're perfect for short-term rentals. I would use them in all of my spaces. Would you consider doing a gifting partnership where I will send you photos that you can use for advertising and you can for free material? And they would do that type of exchange. Like, you need to shoot your shot, just like with social media. You need to ask, put yourself out there, and be okay with getting denied. I get denied too. I just asked for a cowboy pool from some little metal pool in the backyard, and they're like, yeah, no. So like, people always say no, and the big brands will reach out. So I didn't start getting reached out to by Amazon or Target or Bear until probably like 6 to 8 months ago. So that was relatively new when the big brands wanted to work with me. That will come with time, I think. So I think starting with the smaller things, starting with like a bedding company, Brooklinen or Bedthreads or Ruggable, like I said, Caraway Pots and Pans, like those small companies, messaging them on Instagram and saying, hey, I absolutely adore your product. I use it for all of my spaces. I would love to know if you did any trades or partnerships. I have this many short-term rentals. I'd love to share on my feed as well as send you photos for your advertising. Please let me know it works. I'm so excited to hear from you. Just shoot your shot.
Love it. I love that.
You have been so open and giving and vulnerable and detailed. So our listeners are going to love this conversation. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners? They are hosts. They are go-getters. They value the guest stay. Is there anything that we haven't asked you that you think they should hear?
I think a fear that people have is niching down a little bit. Obviously, my style is super bold. And I think sometimes people are like, what? I would never want to like target only women or like family. Like, I wouldn't want to remove all the men from my market or whatever that may be. Like, but I think the truth is, if half the population loves you, and even if the other half literally hates you and thinks that you're garbage, that's better than having everybody kind of like you and then leave you in a sea of like undifferentiated options. Mm. Like just having a bunch of listings in the same pool that all look the same. If you see a bunch of spaghetti, but then there's that one pasta with vodka sauce, you're like, oh yeah, I want that one. So I think knowing that it's okay to niche down a little bit, it's okay to go a little bit more bold and take a risk, because truly people are on vacation. People want to have fun and they want to stay somewhere that doesn't look like home. They want Instagram photos. They want backdrops. That's why I always try to incorporate a spot in our designs that are as one wall. I mean, all the walls I try to, but one specific dedicated wall that has like hand chairs and a neon sign and a gumball machine, because people are going to be posting that, like giving people somewhere exciting to stay. And I think another thing that's, is really cool is that our guests at our national Airbnb, it is so wild and crazy. People are probably like, that place is probably thrashed. Well, we've had 0 items broken in 2 years. We have had it in pristine condition. We never have Karens. Everybody is so happy to be there. If the dishwasher is broken, they're like, hey, just to let you know the dishwasher is broken, but it is so cute in here. We love it. Thank you so much. We can tell how much love you put into this space. People are genuinely happy because the people that book it aren't going to funerals. They're trying to have fun. Like, they're going for an experience of a lifetime. And it's okay if not everything is as perfect as it should be, which we always strive for that. But the people that are there are happy and good and grateful, and they'll market you on social media, but without even asking. We always get tagged and stuff. So niching down isn't as scary as it seems, number one. Another thing that I would say is, obviously, I think it's very important to hire somebody, just like we've learned from experience with our back house that we're renovating. We thought we could do it ourselves. Well, that was the worst mistake of my life. We should have just spent the extra money and hired someone to do it right the first time. I think it's important to remember that if you think you can do it, go for it. But know that if you do make a mistake, you're going to have to sell your furniture. You're going to have to hire someone again. You're going to have to redo this stuff and take it off the market. And, you know, it's easier to just hire somebody first if you can afford it, obviously, which I think should be budgeted in when you buy anything, to hire someone that knows what they're doing, even if it's virtual and you have to do it yourself. Mm. Budget that in, because long term, it's worth it. And yeah, period, it's worth it. I would like to give some tips too. Totally talking your ear off, but
no, here for it. Give us some tips.
Awesome. So, mind you, this is for my style. So make sure you look at my Instagram and take this with a grain of salt. If you're looking for a farmhouse Chip and Joanna Gaines vibe, don't listen to me. But for my style, I always try to incorporate colors that are muted, but are bold still. So I'm not choosing neon green couches and purple and red and like these colors that are a little bit intense for like a space. I want to make sure that if I'm choosing a yellow couch, it's more of like a muted mustard couch, and then adding like a blue rug underneath it that's muted or teal. So I always try to add colors, but I never want to overwhelm people with the most insane colors all over the wall, sprayed everywhere, which there might be a market for that. Like maybe someone that wanted to have like a shroom house. But like in reality, like you want to add color, but be thoughtful with it. Like I can show you my TV stand for an example. It is pretty bold and funky, but it's white. And then there's like simple decor in it that's colored, but it's not to the point where it's overstimulating. So I always try to do things intentionally like that. And for the bedding, we always try to do white sheets and then put a pop of color on, throw a blanket on top, or like go to Target and go to the Opal House section. Mm-hmm. There's really cute throw pillows that you can just throw on the top. I think when I'm scrolling through pages and I see people that have like their grandma's comforter, I'm like, I'm not staying there. So having it look clean, but also with color. Peel and stick wallpaper is, well, you might get divorced if you put it up with your partner. It's really difficult, but peel and stick wallpaper is such an easy way to transition from a basic room to a really cool room. And I will always say like, pick a few locations where you have that wallpaper, like behind the TV, put peel and stick wallpaper. On the master bedroom wall, put peel and stick wallpaper, and then maybe in another bedroom. If you can do all the bedrooms, the more the merrier, but obviously, you know, you just want to have a couple shots that say I'm fun. So having that peel and stick wallpaper, you can get really cheap wallpaper off Target or off Amazon. I mean, I definitely wouldn't use those for my preference, but if you're trying to ball on a budget, it's possible you can definitely find some really cool things. It just adds like an accent. Last thing I will say, I absolutely love putting a colored couch. And people might disagree with me on this one. They might not think that. But when I see a place that has a colored couch with like cute little accent pillows, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's adorable. I absolutely love that. So I think it's not as hard as it seems. You have to have somewhat of an eye for it. But scroll Pinterest, check out my page. If you can't, you know, budget for hiring somebody, don't be afraid to go bold. You don't have to resort to doing it super, super minimal if you're in the right location for it. Once again, if you're in deep Kansas, I don't even know if deep Kansas is a thing, but if you're there, maybe not. But, you know your market. Know if you're in Scottsdale, Vegas, California, like bold poppin' spots, Texas, even, you know, Columbus, you know that it's important and it's okay to stand out.
Yeah, love it. And our listeners can still come stay with you in Nashville, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. We'll make sure. We're going to put all the links to all of Bridget's things in the show notes. So give her some love because she can always have some additional followers, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Always more followers. But this has been awesome. Complete inspiration, not only for Sarah and us, but hopefully all of our listeners, to encourage them to be bold and then start sharing a little bit more with everyone. They need to know who these amazing hosts are out there spending so much time on their design and loving it.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing everything today. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are.
Thanks for visiting.
Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group, This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.